Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 6, day 2 of the study of Revelation. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Revelation 10, 8 through 11. You can find show notes at 10weekbible.com/Revelation week 6. Thanks for joining me on the 10-Week Bible Podcast today. I want to encourage you to commit to reading or listening to the book of Revelation once a week for 10 weeks. There's some great resources out there like the Bible app for iOS or Android, where if you're on the go, you can still have the Bible read to you. The power of filling your mind with God's Word is forever life-changing. Let's go ahead and pray before we get started today. Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what your Word is saying to us. Would you speak to us today, God? In Jesus' name. Amen. With that, let's jump into the book of Revelation. We're going to be reading from Revelation 10, verse 8 out of the NIV. Then the voice that I heard from heaven spoke to me once more. Go, take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who's standing on the sea and on the land. So pause right there. Remember yesterday we talked about this mighty angel who comes before John. We're in the middle of a parenthetical section here. We've taken a pause from the trumpet judgments. We're we've had the first two woes, the fifth and sixth trumpet judgment, and we're waiting for the last woe, the third woe, to take place. And the Lord pauses for a moment to give us this parenthetical section that we can understand some things better. And so at the beginning of chapter 10, John saw this mighty angel. He's holding a scroll in his hand that we're told here. John is told to go and take this scroll that's lying in his hand. Verse 9, so I went to the angel and asked him to give me the scroll. He said, take it and eat it. Now pause right there for a second. I love imagining what this must have looked like. You know, there's this mighty angel, and what I perceive that John is saying is that he's huge. When I say mighty, it may mean that he carries some great level of authority, but I have a feeling also that John is seeing this giant angel. It may not be that case, but this is the picture I get in my mind. There's this huge angel with one foot in the sea and one foot on the land, and the Lord says, go take this scroll. So John, little John, walks over to this mighty angel. You know, I have just envisioned, you know, this 100-foot-tall angel or something, and little, 5'6" John walking up to him and say, can I please have that scroll? It had to be somewhat intimidating, but it may not have been that way. That's just the way that I imagine it. You know, this is not biblical. This is Darren's imagination running wild here. John goes up to this huge angel and asks for the scroll. It strikes me as a bit odd, a bit funny in the midst of everything that's going on. You know, this is all visionary. John is getting led around here and swept from one scene to another, and he's seeing the trumpets, and now all of a sudden he sees an angel with his feet on the sea and on the land. You know, it's just one thing after another. It's almost like John is just kind of in a daze walking around. That's how I picture it, you know, that he's just kind of along for the ride here, and it's just one more kind of crazy thing that John has to see and go through. I mean, imagine. Just pause and think for a second what it must have been like to be John throughout this experience, just being kind of led around and told to do this and seeing these things. It must have been overwhelming. At some point he had to have just kind of glazed over and just been going through the motions just because of just how overwhelming everything that he's seeing must have felt to him. That's my take. That's not necessarily biblical. That's just kind of the way I see it. Is I just imagine a real man in real life really experiencing these things and what it must have been like. Anyway, so verse 9 again. He said to me, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey. I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, it turned my stomach sour. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. Now this harkens immediately back to a story that we see in Ezekiel 3, 1 through 3. He is to take a similar scroll. It's the same thing that's going on here. Ezekiel has to eat this scroll, and it turns his stomach sour, even though it tastes sweet. And I want us to understand what's going on here. John is telling us something, and he's about to reveal something to us as we look at what's coming, the seventh trumpet. And then the next parenthetical section, I believe, is going to be part of this bitter pill that John is taking. I kind of like to refer to it as that. This is the bitter pill of the prophetic ministry, if you will. This book, this little scroll, I think represents the reality of prophecy. It is so sweet to hear from the Lord, but so often it's difficult to bear up under the weight when we have to confront people with what the Lord is saying. Now, many times the Lord speaks to us prophetically to encourage people. In fact, if you want to think about it correctly, I believe that every time the Lord speaks to us prophetically, it's to encourage people. One of the problems with that is sometimes the encouragement is long term. You know, sometimes it's a bit of tough love that the Lord gives us through prophetic words. Sometimes he tells us hard things so that we know about them in advance before we go through them, so that we'll know it was the Lord the whole time, that he's in it. So not every word from the Lord is necessarily immediately comforting. Not every word from the Lord is immediately encouraging. But the Lord's heart in prophecy, and we'll see later in Revelation that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Everything that we hear prophetically is for our good, but it's not always going to feel good going down. It's not always going to feel good when we hear it and perceive it and understand it and know what we have to go through. And the book of Revelation is quite like that. I'm sure being able to hear from the Lord like this, it must have been sweet for John, but then having to bear up under the weight of this message of what's coming and what's going to be done to the saints, that's difficult. Having to proclaim what God is going to do to the wicked, evil people who've rejected him, it's got to be difficult. And he's going to say it bluntly. And it is. It's a beautiful, glorious thing when we hear from the Lord. It's a beautiful, glorious thing. I love hearing from the Lord. I love contemporary subjective prophecy. And let me explain what I mean by that. Is when we read scripture, when we read prophetic scriptures especially, I consider those scriptures, those passages, objective, ancient prophecy, objective, canonized prophecy. They will come to pass. But I also believe that the Lord still speaks to his people. I believe that he hasn't stopped speaking. He hasn't stopped healing people. He hasn't stopped doing all those things that he did in the Bible. But I like to think of modern day prophecy as contemporary subjective prophecy. Anything that the Lord is going to speak to us, it doesn't hold the same weight as scripture. It can't. Scripture has to be our foundation, has to be our bedrock. Everything that we feel from the Lord has to be looked at, has to be perceived through the objective lens of scripture. And if what we feel like the Lord speaks to us goes against that, goes against the written word of God, we need to throw it away. Because we're human, we're flesh. We can get things wrong. We can miss these things. We can hear correctly from the Lord and misinterpret things. We can misunderstand. I mean, look at it, even with the objective word of God, even objective prophetic words, we miss them. We get them wrong all the time. That's human nature. And so what we want to do is we want to have a humble spirit. We want to come before the Lord in humility, come before each other in humility. If we believe that the Lord speaks, and I encourage you, ask him to speak to you. Ask him to speak to you. He's spoken to me many times. And I love when the Lord speaks to me. It does. It tastes sweet like honey in your mouth. But there are so many times when the Lord speaks, and that word is very difficult to walk out. That word is very difficult to release. There's a dear pastor that I used to go to his church and appreciate very much, named Jack Deere. And I liked what he said about this one time, is that the clarity of the word you receive from the Lord determines the level of obedience required of you. And most often, you know, when the Lord speaks to us, when we're trying to hear from the Lord, and this is anything from, you know, should I take this job, Lord, or should I not? You know, and just moving off of, you know, the impressions or the peace we feel like we have from the Lord to do different things. You know, a lot of times those things are very unclear. They're very hard to discern. Is this really the Lord leading us? Is it not? The level of obedience that the Lord requires from us in those situations is very low because he's not giving us a lot of clarity, but he is guiding and leading us. He's involved in the process, but he's not giving us a lot of clarity. But when the Lord gives a lot of clarity, especially in the prophetic word, when he gives extreme clarity, it means that we have to be very diligent to be obedient to that word. We see that played out in the Old Testament many times. You know, there was the prophet that the Lord said to go to the king of Israel and go back a different way and don't eat anything. And we see that another prophet stopped him and said, the Lord told me you can eat. And he does this. And I believe we find this story in the book of Kings, you know, and the Lord speaks to him and says, hey, you didn't fulfill my very clear word. And the Lord took his life. It's a harsh, you know, it's a crazy story, but the Lord required great obedience from him. And again, that's not the way the Lord deals with everybody. That's not the way the Lord deals with it most of the time. But when that word is clear, we have to set our minds to obedience to it. And that's, I believe, what John is talking about here. When we have these clear words with some negative aspects to them, it's very difficult to walk that out. I've experienced this a few times in my life, definitely not to the level that John is here. Again, I believe in contemporary, subjective, prophetic words. The Lord has spoken to me many times, but those words are subject to elders of churches and every single person listening to determine whether or not they feel like the Lord is speaking to them or not. But I've had some very dramatic words. If you're not familiar with one of the books I've written, it's called The Year of the Lord's Favor. And in it, I detail what the Lord spoke to me on a couple of different occasions. 2 days before 9/11, before September 11th, 2001, the Lord, in a dream, sent an angel to me. And the angel walked me around the island of Manhattan. And he showed me the World Trade Center collapse. And this was on September 9th. 2001, 2 days before the events of 9/11. I saw the World Trade Center collapse. The angel showed me people running away from the collapsing towers in fear and terror. You know, I didn't fully understand the message at the time, but 2 years or a year and a half later, the Lord gave me another dream where he showed me the new tower that would take its place. He showed me exactly what it would look like. He showed me exactly what would be going on in the United States at the time, and he gave me a very difficult message, a very sobering, difficult message to speak out. And I can attest that this reality of the prophetic ministry is challenging. When we know that the Lord is speaking to us, it does taste sweet. I love hearing from the Lord. I can't imagine living any other way than chasing after the Lord speaking to us on a regular basis. But at the same time, the more clarity he gives us, the more difficult it becomes sometimes to walk those things out. My wife and I have experienced many times the Lord has spoken very clearly to us about the direction of our life, things that we're supposed to lead or do or move or change. And every time we look at those things and we say, we love the Lord speaking to us, but oh my goodness, when the Lord speaks that clearly, we know from experience now, when the Lord speaks so clearly to us that, oh my goodness, we know that difficult times are coming, not because the Lord just loves to give us difficult times. He's pruning us. He's shaping us and molding us. But we know when the clarity of the word is determined to be so clear, we know that it's because tough things are coming and we needed to know that it was the Lord on the front end. We needed to know that before it happens. That's been our experience with prophetic leading. When the Lord tells us to do something, when the Lord very clearly tells us to move or change or do something different, or very often it's very difficult to walk out, but it's worth it. It's worth the pain. It's worth the agony sometimes, because it's the Lord leading us in those directions. So this prophetic ministry, and speaking out this end times word of the Lord. It's difficult, and I guarantee you during the end times, during the tribulation, when believers are saying, no, don't take the mark of the beast, don't do these things, don't believe the peace that the Antichrist has brought. The world is struggling, wrestling for peace, and we're told that there's going to be a moment of peace on planet Earth, and it's going to be believers who are the only people on the earth saying, no, don't believe it. It's not real. That's going to be a hard message in that hour. To be the only people saying, no, this is not true peace. Don't go with this. Don't follow this man. I tell you, walking out this prophetic message during those days will be very challenging. It will taste like a bitter pill, but it will be worth it. The Lord is worth it. What we have to gain from eternity is worth it. As Jesus has told us already in this book, to those who overcome, everything that his Father has given him, he's going to offer to us. Beloved, it is going to be worth it. Everything that we go through is going to be worth it. Even if those prophetic words taste sweet in our mouths, they will be a bitter pill to swallow, but it will be worth it. That's all for today. Thanks for joining me for the 10-week Bible podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and we'll be back tomorrow with another day of the podcast.